that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning, and that wheel has rolled around again. We welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we're here this morning and got John on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us, and still trying to get Tim on the line, having a little connectivity issues trying to get over there, but we'll try him here again in a minute. And but we welcome you here, coming to you live this Saturday morning. Well, it's already halfway through March, the 14th of March, 2015. And but we've got our Bibles and we've got our coffee, and hey, we're gonna go with that. So, John, I'll if you want to take it for a minute, and I'll see if I can get Tim on the line, if you've got a thing or two to share with the people, and maybe open up in prayer.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly this morning, grateful for this time that you've set aside for your people to get together and to discuss whatever it is that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Lord, there's one thing that's for sure. There's no shortage of things to pray for or things to pray against. And Lord, we do ask that you would teach us how to pray. And once we learn how it is that you want us to pray, teach us to be silent and to listen, to hear what it is you would have us do. And then teach us how to obey. Lord, bring us into that obedience where we need to be, so that just as your word says, you will punish their disobedience. Your word is also clear, Lord, that where there are two or more gathered in your name, then you're there also. We claim that today when we say, come, Lord Jesus. Bring your myriads of angels with you. Lord, we pray that this program this morning would be pleasing in your sight, to your ears, guide and direct us as your remnant to the things that you want us to focus on. Lord, we continue to ask for your protection. Continue to ask for grace and mercy, and that you'd find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We ask that you would show us what it is that you would have us to do, Lord. Open the doors that need to be open. Close the doors that need to be closed. Continue to bind the forces of hell that have come against your people. Continue to cause them to fall in the pits that they dig and the traps that they lay. Lord, let those terrors stick their heads up bold and brazen so there can be no mistake. Let each man today choose. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We pray all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it ahead of time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for that. Good evening, or good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Glad you could join us here.
Good morning, Tim.
To be here.
Well, just thought we'd put it out there, man. Didn't know if you guys had anything specific you wanted to start or address this morning.
Well, I was reading an article earlier this morning about the Presbyterian Church USA is just 7 votes away of changing their official definition of marriage between a man and a woman to 2 people. And it's not the first time that this church has been in a major controversy. Back in 2010, with an amendment called 10A, the church changed its position to openly allow openly gay clergy. And that decision, let's see, in 2013, cost them 244 churches in 2013 alone. Praise God.
Amen.
But it's even worse than that, because I have a friend of mine, Jay, that is a strong Christian man, pretty much follows what we do here as a ministry and church. And he said that he attended one of those meetings when the local Presbyterian church here was considering those things, and he ended up leaving the church over it. But he says it's to a point now where the leaders in the Presbyterian Church USA do not even believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, or do they embrace that salvation is through Jesus Christ. So,
amen. Well, you know, and it wasn't too long ago, and I think we talked about that, the fact, John, that according to exit surveys from a lot of the Christian colleges that were done, like 80% of the clergy, you know, quote unquote, that came out were only interested in the position of that they were, you know, that they were being ordained for because of the money they could make. That was the sole reason. Yeah, that was the sole reason that they gave on the exit polls for you know, going to seminary and going into that field. It wasn't for the glory and honor of and that was one of the answers on the poll was, you know, you're doing it for the Lord, but almost 90% of them were only interested in money.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well, it makes sense. That's why, you know, for the most part, you don't hear preachers teaching to fear God, and you don't hear preachers talking about the consequences on Judgment Day for disobedience.
Right. Well, and just like that, we don't hear about how many members the Presbyterian Church lost because they don't agree with the fact that they've done those things. We just hear about how many churches they've lost, because that's the you know, real dollar and cents issue there is they're not after that one soul like Jesus was. They're after they're after another church, you know. So,
well,
what are they? Profit center.
Right.
So.
What's obvious is the Presbyterian Church USA was infiltrated by terrors, you know, many years ago.
Amen.
Just like all the other churches for the most part.
Yeah. Well, and I couldn't help but think when you said that, when these other thoughts occurred to me that, you know, just no wonder Christ went in and threw the money changers out of the temple, you know, when it becomes all about that instead of all about the kingdom of God. Well, we've got some issues there.
And we've stepped right back into that very thing.
Yeah.
You know, we have. It's a shame that it's that way. It should not be that way, but it is. And, you know, I think that by their fruits you shall know them. You know, we talked a little bit last night about, Andre called in last night, John, and talked a little bit about, you know, I think it was him. Somebody did anyway about the, you know, how do you spot a counterfeit? And the pastor taught on that, you know, that the way the banks and stuff teach and train their people and the law enforcement how to spot a counterfeit bill is to study the real one and to understand every nuance and every aspect of the real $100 bill, of the real $50 bill, so that if you do get a counterfeit, you can spot it right away. And, oh, if our people would just apply our pastor's teachings to Christianity, and then you can spot false Christianity. You can spot Judeo-Christianity, which is nothing but false Christianity. It puts Judaism, which denies Jesus Christ, it puts that above Christianity and above Christ. And it's just as simple as that.
Yep.
So, anyway.
And the shibboleth.
But that's it. Well, absolutely the shibboleth. You know, that there's no one tool. You know, it's a... I think it's interesting. You go to... Jason came up. We replaced some hot water heaters up here at the ranch and at my house last year. Late last year, just in December. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, you got to have several tools. You know, you don't just have one tool. You need several. And
right.
And it's like that with this, the shibboleth. There's several, you know. Hey, if they preach something against what the Bible says, you know, well, hey, you better look out. If they deny the deity of Christ, like you said, John, how this church and these church leaders are doing, and they have to do that to maintain their 501c3 status, to make sure that when the Antichrist come in, that they can welcome them and accept them in, you know, come one, come all. We sure don't see that in the Word, but the name of Jesus Christ is one of them. Baptism for the remission of sins. Man, that theme is throughout the Bible. And so when you come across, whether it's a big 10,000 member church or two people you're talking to and they deny baptism, you know, hey, you can try to explain it to them. Here it is. The Bible says it through and through. And, you know, if they're teachable, if they have the right spirit, and hopefully God will call them and have their eyes open to it, then that's great. If not, so be it.
Yeah, the other thing I've found over the last several months is some of the men that I'm working on trying to give them the milk, you know, before the meat, about the truth that we've been revealed to us as a remnant. And now that... Joel Olstein is on satellite radio. This guy does a lot of driving for his job, and he's like, "Yeah, did you hear that?" You know, and I said, "Yeah." He's very charismatic. And you know what? I've listened to him from time to time, and a lot of what he says is good, and a lot of what he says is true. But remember, rat poison is 98% cornmeal and 2% poison, and guess what? It still kills. I said, what you'll find, if you listen closely, is he'll never preach on baptism for the remission of sins by immersion, and he'll never preach against homosexuality, because he can't. Put him off the air in a New York minute.
Yep. And you know, Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of your benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. And if all you do is read that, and say, see? And that's what you'll hear from that Mr. Osteen. See there, God wants to bless you, and he wants to love you, and he goes on and on with that sickly sweet tone he has. But that's all you hear. But, you know, how many times do you read in the Bible that, hey, your sin separates you from God? And you know, it's, we talked about it last night, it's the same message today as it was in the days of Cain. Repent or perish. Make the choice. And you can't, that prosperity gospel that's taught is you do whatever you want to do out there, and God will still bless you, you know? And it's just not... It's not that way at all. You look at our land and our people today, they are not blessed as a whole.
No,
because they have not returned to him.
Yeah, as we were reading through Deuteronomy, the latter part of this week, you can just, all you have to do is read Deuteronomy 28, you know, the first 15 chapters, or verses, I mean, are the blessing. 16 through 68 are the curses. And if you read those curses, you read them carefully,
yeah,
that ought to put the fear of God in you.
Yeah, it should.
Well, and not only that, I think it also, be, if you read those with an eye toward looking around today, I mean,
you can see it, yeah.
It seems to me that it would be apparently obvious to anyone with any kind of analytical mind to say, wow, Lord, this is all around us. You know, I mean, here we are in... you know, here we are in Deuteronomy, or in Exodus 20, you know, he's talking about some of the statutes, and if you don't do this, and if you do that, and I'll make you, you know, if you charge interest, if you borrow and do all this, then you'll be the tail, and if you follow my precepts, there won't be any poor among you, there won't be, and you go, well, let's see, oh yeah, we've got record numbers on food stamps, we've got record numbers of unemployment, we've got, there is no middle class anymore, it's been wiped out, you've got high and low, and that's it. And when you look around and see all that, you know, I mean, is there any correlation there? I think I'd have to say yes, you know, I mean, and... you know, you look.
We're deep into the curse phase.
Exactly, like you said, the Presbyterian Church here. It was one of the more, you know, you can look back just at its history. I mean, you know,
conservative, real,
very, very big in the Reformation movement. Then suddenly we've got women allowed to preach from the pulpit. Then we've got gay couples allowed to preach from the pulpit. Then we've got, you know, I wonder what they're going to do with the new three-parent children movement that's coming up now, and all of the other heresies that are coming out of the whole science issue of not whether we should do it, but whether we can do it. You know, I mean, there's just all those issues that it's very. I really don't know how much more in your face the curses can be from the sin. I mean. I read one the other day. They were talking about doing GMO on cocoa beans for chocolate. I mean, you know, it's like, let's just see if we can, you know. It just is.
Well, that just tells you better pray for everything you put in your mouth, whether it be food or drink.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
And well, does the Bible say that they'll eat poison and suffer no effect? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, because you better be praying over that food and asking the Lord.
Even that candy bar you're eating.
Exactly.
Cleanse of any impurities, Lord, grant me strength and energy from it. Send the poison back down upon the poisoners.
Amen.
Never really understood the significance of that, but boy. There's a lot of significance to it because that's exactly what they're trying to do, poison the people.
Yes.
And maybe if we all be praying that, God will answer it and send that poison back down upon those at Monsanto and all these mega companies that are buying up all these small farms.
Amen.
Amen.
Just so much of that going on. And, you know, I don't think it's anything to fear, but I certainly think it ought to motivate you to you know, get on your face before God every day for the protection of the people that you love and care for, and for your nation, and for everything else. And we see these confounding things. There's an article on the Newswire just seen, and they were talking about one of the senators in Oregon. She withdrew her mandatory vaccine bill for Oregon because of, there was just so much pressure on them. And we see another sign of, and I just consider these signs of, you know, the results of prayer. I mean, that's what those things are. And we see the BATFE, they went in and rescinded the order against the Green Tip Admiral now.
Well, if you look at the prayer that we put out this month, too,
exactly.
It's basically a warning to those who think that they can rule and make judgments that they will not be held accountable for. Because the Bible's clear, they will be judged for the way that they judge.
Amen.
And I believe God's answering that prayer. In fact, we had a family on the ministry. They're in New Mexico that's been fighting a battle forever, set up by the BATF regarding this Fast and Furious thing. And just this week, in fact, he sent an email and thanked us for that prayer.
Yes.
Specifically, because it put those judges on notice. And in their court case last week, they finally are released. They finally, they lost a lot, absolutely. But you got to admire the patriarch of that family, because he says, I picture this as a situation like Job, you know.
Yeah.
I still have my family's here. They're all alive, and I know God's going to restore me. And that's what we prayed, that God would restore them to even more than they had before they went through this test. Because you know what? They passed the test, and it's not been an easy test. It's been over the past, I don't know, 5 years probably.
Yes.
Three to five.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So we just, the warning's out there, and the next is the imprecatory prayer, but we have to be 100% sure that we have our lives right with God before we call for judgment down upon them. And if we get our lives right, if we get our obedience complete, God's word is clear that he will punish their disobedience. But we have to have him go before us before we try to take on these giants, just like the Old Testament.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is. It is exactly that way. And, you know, back to our Bible reading, if you've been reading through Joshua this week, we finished up Deuteronomy and reading through Joshua, and you can see that very thing in the first few chapters of Joshua, that
yep.
If the people will, you can read Joshua 7, and it starts out saying the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. They basically sinned. And they had just taken Jericho, and so now they think, hey, we took that, now we can go take Ai. And
yep.
Because they had sinned, because there was sin in the camp, they were defeated. And it is no, you know, we have that for a testimony for us today. And John, it's you hit it right on the point. When we will not be perfect, but when we can get our obedience complete, then the disobedience of the world will be punished. It's as simple as that.
Amen.
And God can change the course of the destruction if we have a national revival. And if we have people who humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. I mean, that's his word. There's one thing God cannot do is lie. But I think we're at a point where it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
No.
You know, and it's always been that way. You know, it was that way in the beginning. Again, it's returned to me. You know, that's what works. You read that all through the Psalms. That's what works. Return to me.
Amen.
Well, I was encouraged. I don't know if you saw that story, but White Oak, Texas, a high school, that the principal daily reads scripture as an exercise referred to as thought for the day. Well, of course, someone was offended by it, recorded it, and sent it to the Freedom from Religion Foundation. But the superintendent, Michael Gilbert, not only defended White Oak High School Principal Dan Knoll in a written statement, he also told the Freedom from Religion Foundation, "I'm sorry you feel that way. I will be praying for you and your staff daily." So it takes so little, you know. And then here come the threats, you know. Well, you haven't heard the last of this yet. It's Freedom from Religion Foundation ain't nothing but a bunch of terrors, bunch of antichrist, bunch of sons of the devil that hide behind the separation of church and state. Time after time, they're defeated when people stand against them and just say no.
Yeah. Psalms 94:16 says, "Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wickedness?" And that's a question from God Almighty. Who?
I will.
Will do this.
Here I am, Lord. Use me.
Send me.
Yep. Here we are, Lord. You know, here we are, and you know, we know He has His 7,000 out there that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, and that, you know, and I think it also applies if they have, they've repented. They don't continue to bow their knee to Baal. They don't continue to kiss the hand that strikes them. They've come out of it. They've repented. They've died to their old way. They've been born again in repentance and in the watery grave of full immersion baptism. And now they are able to stand. They're clothed in Christ, His remnant. And they are able to stand against the evildoers.
And well, if you think about it, what is the first real act of obedience? Baptism, right?
Yeah.
We're called to be baptized.
It is.
And without that, the first act, or maybe not the first act, but one of the most significant acts of obedience, being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the rest of it.
Yeah. Submit yourselves to
spiritual warfare.
Submit yourselves to God. You know, and
yep.
That's the first act, like you say, of obedience and submission. So, for sure, to our God, for
yeah, they say also in here that the superintendent also claimed that the community has rallied around Knoll since the so-called controversy emerged. And his statement is, "I love my students, and I love the staff, and I never doubt where the community stands, because they will always come together."
Well, and the other thing is those people who stood up, that's sure one of the ways that the terrorists stick their head up, you know, higher. I mean, there's probably little doubt in that community as far as they know where some of the terrorists are. You know, they're in their community just by that, you know, lightning rod or that point that shows up there.
Yeah. Then there was another victory in Georgia Air Force Base. I don't know if you saw that one. But apparently there was maybe a dozen guards at the gate that every time someone came in, they would say, "And have a blessed day." And somebody complained about it, an antichrist atheist. And, of course, Mikey Weinstein, the Freedom from Religion Foundation leader in the military, filed a lawsuit against them, and apparently the higher ups there decided that you can no longer say that. You have to say have a great day or a nice day. And then Todd Starnes from Fox News or whatever, he brought it to light, and there was such an outrage that they almost immediately reversed their position.
Praise
We're winning some battles.
Yeah,
amen. God's winning some battles. He'll win them all eventually. But
yep. Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines. Got a phone line ringing. Maybe it's not a sales call this morning. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, fellas. This is Willis over in Illinois.
Good morning, Willis.
Good morning, Willis.
Calling. Tell you guys good morning. Joined the show here this morning, and I wanted to commend Richard and Ben both for the patience and the wisdom they exercised last night on their Gideon show. And also, just a quick comment. I was going to call in last night, but I was calling the other number for Jason's show. I didn't realize until toward the end of the show that you guys were on this same number here. But, you know, all through the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, it tells us that Christ spoke in those parables because he didn't want everybody to understand the truth. And
absolutely.
You know, when we got done listening to that show, I had some quick moment of prayer that for the fellow that called in.
Well, Willis, just to let you and everybody know that that was Bob that had called, and he did call back right after the program and apologized. And we talked for about 20 minutes. He just was very frustrated at, you know, what can seem to be sometimes, you know, the lack of being able to convince people of the gospel and to let them see, you know, to make them see. And sometimes we get that way where we just want to shake somebody and say, don't you see this? Don't you see?
I know it.
That God's forgot our children, according to Hosea 4:6, because we've turned away from his law. Don't you? And it can get frustrating. But Bob did. He, just to let you know, and I'm sure that the prayers of the saints had a lot to do with that. But he did call back.
You know, I could tell that he shares the same passion that we all have. And I'm right there with him. It's really frustrating sometimes trying to. Not necessarily preach to people, but get the people to see the light of day. And I constantly remind myself that all we can do is plant that seed, and it's up to God to water that seed. And it might take years for some of these folks to remember something, or something might click in their mind, and they'll think of something that one of the remnants has planted earlier. In God's time, he'll water that seed if it's the seed that he wants to grow.
Amen.
But yeah, and you know, the last... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the last thing that I've been spirit-led to say to those people who are just adamant is Ezekiel 3:17 through 19, that the Bible tells me as a Christian that I have to warn you to turn from your wicked ways. And if I don't and you die, your blood is on me. But now I'm warning you that if you don't turn from your wicked ways, you will be held accountable. And I've just fulfilled my position as a Christian. And dust your feet, because that's what the Bible says. If you come into the town and they won't hear you, dust your feet and move on.
Yes, dust your feet. That's right. That was sort of a weapon that Pastor Peters introduced this some years ago.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. I was talking with a couple people yesterday that asked me to keep a fellow in prayer that was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And the guy that I was talking with said he didn't hardly know what to say when somebody asked him to pray for him. He told him that he said, well, I don't know what my position is with the man upstairs, but I'll talk to him, you know. And he said he'd been baptized a couple of different times, but he was sort of indifferent to it. And I said, well, and I told him, I said, well, that's too bad, because, you know, Christ told us that he wished that we were cold or hot, because we're lukewarm. He'd spew us out of his mouth.
Absolutely.
And he kind of looked at me a little funny, but carried on a little bit of a conversation, and I could tell that he was sort of listening to what I had to say, and I'm hoping he thinks about it a little bit more and comes to a realization that they're, you know, we're either on fire for the Lord or we're not, and if we're not, we need to get off the fence, because lukewarm Christians set a bad example for everybody else. But
amen. There's enough of them, and that's what, you know, when people say to you too, some of these younger kids that have been in the Judeo-Christian church, they're like, where's your love? Where's your love for Jesus? I go, let me tell you something. There's plenty of lukewarm Christian churches out there, and if you want to just hear about the love of Jesus, then you go right ahead. But I'm going to warn you of what's going to happen to you when you face Judgment Day if you do not follow His commandments and His statutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On a different note, I was watching the news a little bit this morning, and I saw where this new pope is already talking about retiring because he'd like to just go out and have pizza somewhere without being recognized.
I said, hey, amen to that. Let him retire.
Yeah, they ain't done with him yet. Don't be fooled.
No. And on a totally different note, you guys would keep George and Patricia in your prayers. Again, they looked at another home and entering into a little contract with it. They're going to have a home inspection with it later this week. And maybe we could all pray that if God's will, it works out for them this time.
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and pray? We'll be in agreement with you, brother.
Yes.
All right. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord, on the behalf of my son George and his wife Patricia and their family. Lord, they've been looking for a home to buy for a couple of years now with disappointments one way or the other. We know your will's been worked out through that, Lord. We pray that if it be your will, that this would be the home that would be set for them, Father, that something that you want them to have, that you'd work your might, Lord, in this situation and make provisions for them, that this would be the home that they'd be able to purchase. And if it's not, Lord, we pray that you give them the spirit of comfort, joy over it, and that there'd be another one that would become available to them. Open the doors that need to be opened, Lord, and close those doors that need to be closed. We thank you, Father, for all the possibilities that you've given them already, and pray that you just work your will throughout their lives. We love you, Lord, pray everything in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Be it.
Well, gentlemen, you guys have a blessed morning. And I again appreciate the time and effort that all you guys put into the shows.
And, thank you. You as well, brother.
My thought just came to mind. And, I don't know what exactly is going on with the Saddle Up show, but I've sorely missed that hour every Tuesday evening that I had pegged for Kyle's shows. And I pray that God would work his will throughout that as well.
That's my prayer as well.
All right.
Thanks, Willis.
You guys have
Thanks,
a great week.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Right.
I'm going to. You the same. Goodbye.
Well, we got a little time left. 307. 745-5913. If you do want to call in, that's the number that's there. And the number we're using this morning, got about 20 minutes left in the program. And, yeah, plenty going on in the world, from Hillary's emails to typhoons hitting on the other side of the world and killing people to just all types of atrocities. You know, you mentioned earlier, John, about one of the baptism being one of the first acts of obedience. I encourage you to go back, read Acts chapter 8. Okay? And because it starts out, you've got Saul persecuting the church. And it goes on, it kind of sidesteps and talks about the Ethiopian that Philip baptizes. And then it goes in chapter 9 to the conversion of Saul. And boy, we have, you know, there's so many new churches out there. We have one here, Emmaus Road Church. Oh, it's, you know, the I saw the light church type thing, you know, in the conversion of Saul. And they'll talk all about the sudden light from heaven flashed around them, and he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And then he keeps on, and he goes on into that. And the false church presents that as his conversion. But if you read a little bit further, you read down in verse 18, you know, you've got Ananias comes, and Ananias didn't want to go do what God called him to do. But he was obedient. and he prays for him. And he says there in verse 17, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he became the Apostle Paul. But if he hadn't have got baptized, he wouldn't have. It's just as simple as that. Anyway, John, I just felt led to share that because you hear so much out there about that Damascus Road, that Damascus Road experience. But they rarely go and tell you that he immediately went and got baptized.
Yep. Excellent point.
And that's part of that truth. That's the truth that this ministry has always put out, has always strived to put out, is to combat the lies that are put out there by the false church. Well, the phone line's ringing again. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Dee from Oklahoma.
Good morning, Dee. Hey, would it bother you if we poured you a cup of coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee.
We're going to pour you a cup anyway. Maybe we'll just have to have it there.
I love the smell of it.
Good morning, Dee.
There's a couple books. Colin Flannery has White Girl Bleed a Lot and Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. And Thomas Sowell, who's a conservative black writer, wrote a summary or something on the second book. And he wrote about how he didn't realize the extent of what's going on in this country in terms of black on white crime, and it's just exploding. And I think all of this with the OU and the Ferguson and everything is just a way to get people, the white guilt going, and get people to look at that instead of what's really going on. And so I felt that I wanted to inspire or encourage all good people to get away from the cities, to move to the country where you can be more independent or try to be. More natural life and hopefully a safer life. And also for those who do have a legal weapon and know how to use it, start carrying it around, especially if you have a family, when you go out in the world. Because I know there's a spiritual battle, but there's also a physical one going on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Dee, Psalms 83 comes to mind. Verse 3, they make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. In verse, before it, it's a prayer to God, starting in verse 1. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, and O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. And it's those that hate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And absolutely, I think a civil war, a race war is brewing. That's their plans here in this nation. But one thing we have to remember is that, or my thoughts on it anyway, is that the black people in America are much more blessed than the black people that remained in Africa. And the black people in America are nothing but cannon fodder in the hands of the Antichrist Jews. Our pastor put that out and taught it. And we probably don't put it out enough, but it's still our position as a ministry. That's exactly what it is. We know that it's those that hate us, it's God's enemies. And the Bible defines that as the Antichrist, those who deny Jesus as the Christ. The Muslims deny Jesus as the Christ. The Jews deny Jesus as the Christ. They fit the bill as the Antichrist. They are the ones behind the scenes, the Jews are, that pull the strings, that manipulate, that send the people into Ferguson, the rioters, that send the, they were the ones that were stirring up the crowd, yelling, crucifying, crucifying, and they sure got us stirred up. Our people, and they are the same ones today that are behind the scenes, that are reporting what they report in the media, that are doing that. So, Dee, you're absolutely correct. I think we all agree with you. I just wanted to add that to it, that absolutely it is. You know, if you go up here in the mountains and you get around the wolves and the bears, then wolves and bears will do what wolves and bears do. And if you get up there and you get in their environment, and you don't have a way to protect yourself, then, well, that's your fault. And if you don't see that there are wolves and bears walking our streets because there's lawlessness in the land, then you need to take Dee's advice and arm yourselves and, you know, do what you have to do in the physical to protect your family. That is our responsibility as Christians.
And when people watch the news, it's just a tiny, tiny part of what's going on throughout the day and the night, especially the night. That people don't hear about, and they can be selective too about, you know, which crimes they report. If people only knew what goes on, and I've got a lot of friends who are cops, I've got on some ride-alongs, and there's so much that happens that never makes it to the news that people don't see.
Right.
And you don't want to live your life in fear, but, you know, what was that old saying? Pray and pass the ammo or something like that. So you do your prayers, yep. But you also are prepared. And I'm just a big advocate in getting out of the city. I agree with you. I think there are going to, and there's a lot of good black people and
Absolutely.
Other ethnicities who don't want any part of this, but there's a majority who do. And some, I think, are even waiting for it to happen and to stir those up that are easily stirred up. And when it does, people will be glad that they've gotten out of the city. And it's not something you can do right away. I think people need to be thinking about it now and making plans for it, saving money for it, especially if you have families and young children.
Amen.
Well, all you have to do is look at the United Nations Agenda 21, and you can see what their ultimate goal is to, and it's happening right here in the town where we live, is they put in mass transportation. They put in a bus lane from one end of town to the other end of town, and next thing you know, all along all the main roads, about every mile, you see a bus stop, and you see all these buses that weren't there a year ago. And what else you see is everything that's along that corridor is being bought up, and high-rise housing is being put in. And basically, they're planning for 40% of parking for those places, and you're going to have no choice but to, well, at least they will have no choice but to, use their public transportation, and at some point their goal is to make natural gas and electricity so expensive that you just can't afford to live in your rural home. But Amen. God's got other plans.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Dee, thanks for the call. Thanks for the update on that.
And thank you, guys, and I'm happy you brought up Pastor Pete, what he used to always talk about, too. I love that he just said it like it was.
Amen.
And wasn't
Amen.
Afraid.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Have a great blessed weekend.
You too, guys.
Right.
Bye.
And phone's still ringing. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. You're leaving out part of the story, and it's the washing of the feet spoken of by Jesus, told directly for us to do. It seems to be that we all go back. We're lifted up, but gravity just pulls us right back down. First thing to get dirty is your feet. Paul was baptized. That I can tell, it doesn't say which baptism. The one of the Holy Ghost or water?
It was water baptism because he had the hands laid on him and his scales fell off his eyes and he received the Holy Spirit and he was baptized. And it's generally understood that's exactly what it was. It was full immersion baptism. It's that word that's used, baptizo, and we can speculate, but for the most part, that's the understanding of what it was. Hey, appreciate the call. Appreciate you sharing that with us. You know, he brings up a good point about washing of the feet. That is, Christ washed the disciples' feet. The disciples said, "Lord, we wash your feet." And he said, "No, just sit back and try to understand this," is kind of the paraphrase. And, our pastor had us do that one year at the Acres men's meeting. We washed each other's feet. And, you know, growing up as in Southern Free Will Baptist down in Florida, as a teenager and stuff, not that I was really a good church kid, But that was something they did about once a year, is they would have a foot washing, and all the men would gather in the back, you know, little Sunday school room, And I can remember doing that, and it was a humbling and solemn experience then. And it was when the Acres men gathered, and we washed each other's feet. And you know, there was another time before our pastor left us that he gathered some men at the church, and he washed our feet.
Yep.
And that you want to talk about humbling. Here was this man, and it was symbolic of Christ washing the disciples' feet. And you know, we were of the mind that, you know, no, Pastor, we need to do this for you. And he said, no, you just sit here. And, you know, that is part of, and I think that's what our caller was saying, is that sometimes we have to kind of be brought back to reality. When our feet get dirty, they need to be washed. And I think that that's one of the important parts of communion. One of the main reasons God gives us communion is so that we can remember these things. We can remember what the great, the unimaginable things that our Lord and Savior did for us to bring us back into relationship with Christ. So that we could come back into relationship with God. And that, you know, Pastor has a little booklet called Communion. It's Blessings, Curses, and Need. And if you don't, and we're still learning about communion, we're still growing in His grace and knowledge. But if you don't have a good understanding of communion, write to us. We'll send you that book for free. I think you can read it on the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And I encourage you to do that. But that's why we have communion, is so that we can, you know, symbolically, I think that's what the caller was talking about, get our feet washed, get back and kind of get clean again, you know, to go out and to be His disciples.
Yeah, and you know, the reality is, if you don't believe in baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion, then move on, because you're not going to win that argument. People have tried for 30-plus years against Pastor Peters, and you're not going to win that argument. And there's plenty of churches out there that'll agree with your position if you don't agree with that position. Let's see. Yep, still there. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins."
Amen.
"And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Still there.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we got a couple minutes left, maybe time for one more caller. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Joe.
Acts 2:38 certainly is true, but that's not the whole concept. You have to read pretty much the whole beginning of Acts, and the main act there, so to speak, was people getting down in the water and being added to the body.
Yes.
There's a scripture that said there's only one baptism, but I think that you have to take that into context.
Absolutely.
Because baptism by fire, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the concept of being washed in the Spirit or being washed by fire, like a fiery tribulation, the word, the operative word in those phrases is baptism. And it means to be whelmed, to be overcome by something in a metaphorical sense. But
immersed,
to
yeah.
be saved, the salvation aspect of the whole gospel message is to be a believer who is repentant and baptized in water for the right reasons.
Amen.
And about like a year ago, it slowly began to dawn on me that the operative word there is baptism. And to be saved, you must be baptized. And in the book of Acts, it's clearly laid out that that medium that you go down into is water.
Yeah,
so,
simple as that.
Amen.
Hey, Joe, we're running out of time. Thanks for the call.
Have a good day.
You too, brother.
Bye.
Well, John, Tim, couple minutes if you want to wrap things up, something you want to share with the remnant, and then we'll invite them to church, and that's another coffee with the Wranglers, gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead and invite people to church. I'd say keep Jason and Kyle and their families in your prayers. They're traveling here in the next couple days, so.
And, yeah. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow, and you know how to join us. Just come to scriptures4america.org, and at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, and you can join us. We have a review of the news scheduled, and you'll get to see John there, and he'll have the welcome and the introduction, and Shane and I will be there with some good music. And, John, I think you're up for communion tomorrow.
Yep.
Hope you're ready. And John will be bringing a good communion message, and we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. And I kind of liken those to going back and reading the Bible again. You know, I've read of Caleb back in Joshua. I've read of that before. We've talked about it on the radio. But, you know, I'm a lot closer to where he is right now than I used to be. He says here in Joshua 14, "And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in." And, you know, when you're 50, well, that means a little bit more to you than when you're 30. I guarantee you that. And that has more meaning for me today. My strength, that's one of the promises. My strength is renewed like the eagle. And I am stronger now at 50 than I was at 30. Certainly stronger in the Lord and stronger physically as well. And that's my claim. And that's one of the promises we have. But you know, if we don't go back and reread the Bible later in life, we might miss that. And I think it's the same way in joining us tomorrow for church. And you know, the sermon that we're going to get from the pastor, it might have been from 5 years ago. It might have been from 25 years ago. But I guarantee if you'll come and you'll come in the right spirit and listen and tune in and have your notepad ready and your Bible, it'll be a blessing to you. The choice is yours, but there's the invite.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, working on Volume 3, Dragon Slayer. Still got a little bit of work to do on that, but we've got the registration for Branson in the last one, and it'll be in this one as well. So be looking for that. Plan on Branson. First full weekend in June. We'll have more details to follow. Men, thanks for joining us. Going to go out with one of Pastor's favorite songs. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.